Welcome to the Ocean Hills Podcast. Our hope is that today's message would help you connect more deeply with God and with others. If you would like more information on what is happening in the Ocean Hills community, check out our website at oceanhills.org or download the Ocean Hills app. If you are encouraged by our ministry and would like to partner with us financially, you can give through your mobile device by texting Ocean Hills to 77977. We hope you enjoy this message.
Welcome, everybody. I'm going to lead us in a prayer before we dive into God's Word, and maybe you can join with me. There's so much hurt and fear and brokenness in our world. Kind Father, right here, we remember people in Texas right now with the flooding who are overwhelmed. Some woke up and have lost loved ones, still searching for loved ones. This sense of a really awful situation, we invite your presence there, that you would intervene, that you would extend your mercy and grace, your unfailing love to those impacted and affected. And Lord, even the personal things in our lives right here, right now, that each of us carry, we bring to you. Those things that stress us out, those things that create a sense of being overwhelmed or flooded, that create anxiety for us. We think of loved ones and friends and people that we care about that are hurting, that are struggling. We bring you into that situation, Lord, into those relationships. Thank you that you see us, you know us, you love us. We can come to you as a good, good Father. Thank you for the reminder in Scripture that we can seek you and find you if we will seek you with all of our heart. And today we come into this place to worship you, to seek you with all of our heart. And I pray for every heart in this place this morning that we'd walk out of here different than when we walked in, because we've experienced you, the living God, Jesus Christ. So come and have your way in us and through us this day. Amen. Hey, I do want to invite you back next Sunday. It's a special Sunday. Some of you may not be aware, but last Sunday, Cozy Del Carlo Jinx was ordained by our denomination back in Orlando, Florida. And next Sunday, we're going to have four little mini sermons. There's going to be four of us that are going to speak into Cozy's life. It's almost like a wedding, where you go to a wedding and the pastor gives the message to the couple, but all the guests get to be part of it. Come back next week as we celebrate Cozy, her ordination, and get to hear four little mini sermons that are directed at Cozy, but for everybody, to encourage her and to encourage us all in our spiritual journeys. And look forward to being part of that. You're part of that. You're speaking next. You're one of the four. You know that, right? Yeah, okay. All right. If you have a Bible, why don't you open it up to John, the Gospel of John. We're starting a brand new series today. I have people sometimes will say, well, what's the vision of Ocean Hills? Like, where are we headed? What's that? And this series that we're launching is a vision series, and it's really simple. Are you ready? Jesus is the vision. Well, no, it's got to be something cuter than that. No, it doesn't. Jesus is the vision. That Jesus is the vision of this church, to become more like him, to live like him, to respond to him, to help others know him. Jesus is the vision. And so over the next several weeks this summer, we're going to look at several passages in the Gospels and get to know Jesus, because we believe that if you know him, you'll love him. If you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know him. And so part of what we want to do here on Sunday mornings this summer is help you get to know him, because we do believe if you know him, you will love him. And when you love him, then you want to respond to him. Just like anybody you love, you want to be responsive to the people you love. We want to be responsive to the God that we love and become more and more like him. And so I'm going to start with this message. It's out of John chapter 2. And I want to begin by having you think before I read the passage, I want you to think about running out of, the thought of running. What are the things in your life that you don't want to run out of? Raise your hand if you've ever run out of gasoline driving. Like, have you ever been that person? I've done it way more times than I care to admit. How many of you have ever run out of propane for the barbecue? You went out to barbecue and you're like, are you kidding me right now? There is no propane in our barbecue. How about, how many of you ran out of toilet paper at a friend's house? Oh, Lord, don't be that family. Keep restocking the toilet paper. How about hot water for a shower? Oh, it's the worst. You're like, where is the hot water? Well, I could keep going on and on and on, but let me read for us. It's a story of running out. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you." You might want to underline that little phrase in your Bible if you brought it with you. Do whatever he tells you. Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And when the jars had been filled, he said, "Now, dip some out, take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. And when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always saves the best or serves the best wine first," he said. "And then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now." But you have kept the best until now. At the end of every service here at Ocean Hills, or at least most of them, we conclude with, "God is good all the time God is good." And then I always like to remind us, he's bigger and he's better than you think. He's bigger and he's better than you think. And this morning in this little message that I put together, it's kind of how I'm framing it. Jesus is bigger and better than you think. And I have three little reflections I want to share with you. The first is this, from this story out of John chapter 2. It's that Jesus can show up in your life and take a bad situation and make it so much better. Don't we discover that? Isn't that part of this story here? Verse 2, the wine supply ran out. And this seems to me like such an odd miracle. Like, if you were the Son of God, would this be the first miracle that you choose to perform? I'm going to turn water into... Why would you choose this one? It just seems so odd to me as I was reading it that... As I began to study the culture, I was reminded that hospitality in that first century culture in Israel was so, so, so sacred. Hospitality. And a wedding, the festivities of a wedding, it wasn't just one day like often in our culture, but it was like a week long of festivities. And so running out of wine would have been in that culture really shameful. Really embarrassing, a social disaster, an insult to your guests. This is a bad situation. The crisis, it's real. It's not just kind of a superficial thing. It's a real crisis for this family. But notice in the story what Mary does. What does Mary do in this story? She brings Jesus into the crisis. She invites Jesus into this bad situation. Did you notice that? I wonder if that thought has occurred to you. What are you running out of in your life this morning? Even as I ask that question, what of significance in your life you're like, man, I am running out of hope, of patience. I'm running out of money. I'm running out of options. I'm running out of, you fill in the blank. And my question is, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you invite Jesus into your situation? Into that area or crisis in your life where you're like, I don't have enough. Whatever you are facing, I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus is bigger. He's better than you think. And Scripture reminds us of that right here in John chapter 2. I want to ask you a question. I never thought about this until this week. And it's this. Why did Jesus show up at this wedding? Why did Jesus show up at this wedding? Verse 2 tells us. Are you ready? Spoiler alert. He was invited. What? He was invited. That's why he showed up. Wow. Now just think about that. Jesus shows up where he is welcome. Jesus shows up where he is invited. What's holding you back today from inviting Jesus into your life, into your crisis, into your marriage, into your family situation, into your job situation, into, you fill in the blank. What is holding you back? I love that. Jesus shows up where he's invited. A couple of weeks ago, I was on a bike trip. I mentioned it last week with some guys in our church, and we biked from Santa Monica to San Diego, but we ended up in Solana Beach at a friend of mine. His name's Steve Beck. Many of you have met Steve. But Steve shared with our group on Friday night a week or so ago about something that he's doing with young men in his life that he's mentoring. But he calls it, and here's what I want you to hear. It's a listening journal. It's a listening journal. And what's he doing and what are they doing? They're listening to God's voice, and they're looking and listening to how God undeniably shows up in their life. How does God show up in your life, in my life? And can I journal that? That's what they're doing. They're taking time to reflect and look and listen. How is God? John chapter 2, God showed up in this at this wedding in this couple's life, undeniably. They don't even know it's Jesus at this point. Some of you, God has shown up in your life. You don't even know it's him. And how awesome would it be if you took some time to actually pause your life, to listen to your life, to look for traces of God activity, Holy Spirit activity in your life where God has rescued you, where God has protected you, where God has provided for you, where he's guided, led you, brought people, friends, I don't know, into your life, and you go, that's God. That's not you. That's not how awesome you are. That's God showing up for you. And I was actually with my friend Steve earlier this year, back in April, and he and I co-led a retreat down in Mexico for 12 young guys in their 20s and early 30s. And we did a part of the whole experience was journal, take your listening journal that you've been doing all year, but now begin to make sense and trace the hand of God. And then we had this big bonfire at night on the beach, and each guy went around and shared where God has shown up in their life. And then we went and we laid hands and we prayed over that person. So each person got to be prayed over as we listened. I would love for every one of you this morning to be able to have that beautiful gift of being able to have eyes that see that God is for you. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is a provider. And he is showing up undeniably in your life. I have in my journal here, I mean, I brought it this morning, but even as part of my own, what would I call it? Well, we called it Stones of Remembrance from the book of Joshua, where that's what we were calling it, going through the Jordan River, and God parts the river, and they pull out stones, and he says, I want you to pull out a stone, each of the 12 tribes. Why? To remember, and even to tell your children. How awesome would that be? My friend Steve said, on Thanksgiving, that's their new family tradition, that they share their stones of remembrance from the previous year. Where is God showing up for you in your life? And why not share those stories of faith, those stories of hope, those stories of love, those stories of God providing? But I look at, you know, I was here it is in my journal. I know you can't see it. Stones of Remembrance from Joshua 4, 1 through 8. And I just go back, and I mean, I got all these stories. You know, you guys have heard all of them, too. The Vespa accident, that was 11 years ago. Dinner at Oprah's house and having Jimmy show up and tell me I wouldn't go to your church because you're not all in. And I'm like, what? And a 9-day silent retreat up at Swan Lake in Montana, and on and on and on. I have actually 20 right here on one page of my journal of God, the living God Almighty, being so gracious as to show up in a way that I had eyes to see and give thanks to God. What we discover in John chapter 2 is that Jesus can show up and take a bad situation and make it so much better. Now, did you also notice that he said, my time, why are you involving me? My time is not yet come. God doesn't always show up on our time. He doesn't. I wish God was on my timeline. But he doesn't always show up on my timeline. But that's where he calls us to trust him. Will I trust him? Even if he doesn't show up on my timeline, will I trust him? Will I keep seeking him? And that's the question for you. Will you trust God? Even when you can't trace his hand, will you trust his heart? So I want to encourage you, maybe even today, why don't you go get a listening journal and begin to write down. Begin to listen. Begin to look back on your life and go, where did God undeniably show up for me? Here's a second reflection. It's that Jesus can take your ordinary life and he can do something extraordinary through it. I really believe that. I mean, if Jesus could take something as ordinary as water and turn it into something as extraordinary as a beautiful, beautiful wine, why couldn't he do that with your life and with my life? Why couldn't he use your life to impact, to influence, to make a difference in somebody else's life, in this community, in this church, in your own family, in your workplace? How does that happen? How does Jesus take an ordinary life and turn it into an extraordinary life? I think it involves your participation in mind. Look at verse 5. Do whatever he tells you. And then verse 8. So the servants followed his instructions. Isn't that interesting? Do whatever he tells you. So the servants followed his instructions. The fact that they did what Jesus told them to do, it took them from the sidelines of this wedding to the headlines of history. Their story is recorded in the scriptures. We don't even know their names. But they're recorded right here in the scriptures. We don't even know the wedding couple's name. We don't know the servants' names. But that simple act of obedience that they responded, do whatever he tells you to do, and they did it, they followed his instructions, they participated in the miracle. Their ordinary life, God used them to help create something extraordinary. Now I want to maybe poke the bear a little bit. Am I allowed to do that in this church? Yes, I am. I like to do it. I think there are some of us sitting here today that are going, well, nothing extraordinary is going to happen in my life until I graduate from high school or college. I mean, nothing extraordinary can happen until I get married. I mean, single people in the church, they're junior varsity. That's what we think, and that's not right. Single people. God can do something extraordinary in and through your life. If the goal of your life is to get married, that is the wrong goal. Anybody here who's been married for more than 12 months knows that marriage can be really challenging, right? Don't make that the goal of your life. Of course it's a blessing. And the same thing, well, until I have kids. Once I have kids, then God can do something. No. We have lost focus. Jesus wants to do something extraordinary. Well, wait, it's not until I have this much net worth. No, that's a lie. Jesus can do something extraordinary in your life and through your life, even if you have no money. Do you have an obedient heart? Do you have a responsive heart to the Lord God Almighty? Are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to do whatever he tells you to do? You start there. You just start one decision at a time to obey him, to respond to him in love, to say, okay, doesn't really make sense, but I'll go fill up those water jars. Okay, whatever. I don't really know what he's going to do, but I know God's word says this, so I'm going to do it because it's an act of trust. You watch what happens to your life, choice after choice, day after day, year after year, whether you're married or single, rich or poor, it doesn't matter. It's a life of responsiveness to Jesus that your life will become extraordinary and will have extraordinary impact. I'm gonna share a story from that bike trip. Some of you know, I'm just gonna pick on him. I don't think he's even here today, but his name's Jamie Chilton, and some of you know Jamie. And Jamie was on this trip with us. And he wasn't leading the trip. He was a participant in the trip. But you know what he did? Is Jamie, on his own, nobody asked him to do it, he thought about the group. And he said, I want to make sure that the route we go works, is safe. We can get through or around Camp Pendleton. And how are we going to get through Long Beach and Sepulveda Boulevard? On his own, he got in the car and he drove down to LA and San Diego area and looked at all the different ways and roadblocks and on his own created an itinerary for us. Now, who does that on their own as a volunteer without being asked, but just living your life for the sake of others, to bless others? That will take you from becoming just an ordinary person to becoming an extraordinary friend, an extraordinary teammate, an extraordinary family member, an extraordinary, and you fill in the blank. You start living beyond yourself, which is the way of Jesus, spoiler alert, living for the sake of others, beyond myself, living for others. When I start living that way, when you start living that way, extraordinary things happen through you and in you. Extraordinary purpose and freedom and peace that comes over your life and your heart. Extraordinary healing that happens from not holding on to past hurts, but trusting him and choosing to be a forgiver. I mean, it's amazing when people start, just make a decision. It's not up for grabs. The next best thing to do that Jesus tells me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do that next thing that he calls me to do. Baby steps. And you look on your life and you're like, oh my goodness. Look at the extraordinary things God's doing in me and through me. Okay, here's my last point. It's that, and I'm gonna pick on my demographic. If you're over 50, I'm over 50. If you're over 50, this point is for you. This point is for you. This point is for you. Because this point is for me. And here it is. Jesus can make the latter part of your life the best part of your life. A host always serves the best wine first, and then when everyone's had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive. But you have kept the best until now. You have kept the best until now. The best is yet to come. What if Jesus is saving the best part of your impact, your influence, your ministry, your life? He's saving the best part until now. That's what this story teaches us. That maybe you've been telling yourself this story, I'm too old, the game's passed me by, right? It's a world for young people. I mean, this is what our culture tells us. You know, I'm too old to do that. I don't have the energy that I used to have. I started thinking about people in the Old Testament. Abraham was 99 years old when God showed up in his life and told him, in Genesis 17, I will make you extremely fruitful. 99. I will make you extremely fruitful. What does fruitful mean? High impact. There's going to be good that comes out of your life to be a blessing to others. At 99, God showed up and said, I'm going to make you extremely fruitful, Abraham. How about Moses? First 40 years he spent thinking he was a somebody. The next 40 years he learned that he was a nobody. And then the next 40 years he discovered what God can do through a nobody. God used Moses well late in his life. And then what about Caleb? I love Caleb's story. 85 years old. And what was he doing? It's my time to rest. No. It's not your time to rest. Caleb goes, it's my time to risk. Not rest, risk. Some of you are my age, you're like, it's time to rest. No, it's not. This is our time to risk. What'd Caleb do? Give me that hill country at 85. Give me that hill country. And God used him in the latter part of his life to make a huge difference. Now, I'm going to pick on sis. Right here, second row, going to be 97 years old next month. And guess what? Sis was here earlier this morning helping set up all this communion stuff. 97 years old. God bless you, sis. God bless you. What's the point? The point is that God is not done with you. Your biggest impact, your best life can be in front of you. And it's not about running from something. It's about, in our later years, running towards someone. Keep running. If you're getting older like me, keep running towards Jesus and let him turn your ordinary life into something extraordinary. Let him take that crisis, that bad situation, and bring good out of it. Let him take that older person that's thinking that life has passed you by, but you got more wisdom, more experience, more to offer the next generation. And so what if Jesus has actually saved the best of your career, your marriage, your mentoring, your impact until now? Now, here's a little twist on it, and I'm going to close with this. It's a quote from Rick Warren. He says, Jesus won't turn your water into wine until you run out of your own. Jesus doesn't do miracles for the self-sufficient. Ouch. If you're not seeing God show up in your life, maybe it's because you think it's all about you. And once you say, it's not about me, I need you, and invite him into your wedding, invite him into your situation, let him show up for you. So I'm going to do something. I'm going to just pick on the older crowd. If you're 50 or older and you're going, I want my best years ahead of me, not behind me. I want you to stand up right now. If you're like, that's me. I want to be that person. I'm over 50 and I want God to show up. Look at this. Yeah. Stay standing. Yeah, stay standing. And now here's what we're going to do. I actually want you to put your hand, if you're not standing, we're going to pray over this generation, that God's going to use this generation to do some incredible things in this world. Would you just put a hand on their shoulder, put it on their arm, whatever it is, grab their hand. Don't be creepy about it. Just put your hand on them. These are people that are standing up in faith saying, I want God to show up, and I want the next years to be the best years for God to use me. Let me pray for us. Kind Father, I thank you for your grace that is at work in this moment. And I pray for each person that has stood up for you to say, God, would you use me? Would you turn the water of my life into wine? Would you turn my service into something that brings transformation in the people around me, beginning with my family, my most important relationships, my friendships? Would you turn that ordinary into something extraordinary, something rich and meaningful and really special and loving? And then, God, as I offer all that you have provided for me, God, the gifts, the experiences, the wisdom, all that, Lord, we offer it to you and say, would you take that? It's just water, but you can take it and you can use it and turn it into something really, really significant and special, into a really beautiful wine. And right here in this room, we pray that you would do that and that we'd look back and go, wow, look what God did. Look what God did through my life. Because I said yes, I did the next right thing that Jesus called me to do. I did the next thing when I followed his instructions. I was responsive. I was obedient. Lord, I pray that over us this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now let me lead us to the table. My good friend Kurt and I, we were in a conversation yesterday, and we were talking about communion, and he reminded me. He said, don't forget, we were talking about the Lord's table, and he said, don't forget, it was in Luke 24, in that walk to Emmaus, that Jesus broke bread, and you know what happened? Their eyes were opened, those disciples. When they broke bread together, and that's what we're doing, we're breaking bread together, the bread and the cup. And our prayer is that as you partake of this, that you'll see Jesus afresh and anew this morning. That you'll rediscover that he is bigger and better than you and I know and think. And he wants to do some extraordinary things in and through your life. And so let me remind us that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he was with his closest friends, the disciples. And they were having dinner, they were reclining, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body and it's broken. For who? For you. For you. Underline that in your Bible. For you. That includes, I don't care where you were last night. If you have a heart that's responsive to Jesus in this moment, it's for you. It's for the heart that says, I want to say yes to Christ. I want to say yes to God. This table is for you. That bread, that's his body broken for you. And then he took the cup, the cup of wine, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's for the forgiveness of sins today. His mercies are new today, this morning. His love, it's unfailing. It never runs out. It doesn't give up on you. And so today, if you want to come and receive communion, his body broken, his blood shed for you, it's for the forgiveness of your sins. Today can be a brand new day for me, for you, as we walk out of here to feel that, have that experience of being cleansed and washed. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, Psalm 51 says. And so as we come today, we come with a repentant heart, a remorseful heart, that we are kind of prone to be selfish people. But we come to the table and we go, Lord, help me to live my life for the sake of others. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you have not given up on me, but that you have forgiven me and that you want to fill me with your spirit this morning and help me to live a new life for you and for others. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. So let's stand together. We're going to sing. And when you're ready, if the desire of your heart is to walk in the way of Jesus, you are invited to come. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We're all flawed. We don't have to wonder about that. We're all flawed. Elbow your neighbor and say, you're flawed and I'm flawed. Okay. But this table isn't about you. This table is about Jesus. So when you're ready, you come. You can kneel. You can stand. We have a prayer team. If you want prayer, we want to pray for you in the corners. We have our prayer team. God bless you as you come. Receive his grace.